Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
In recent weeks leading up to the election, two hip-hop artists have indicated their support for President Trump. Well, sort of. Hip-hop artist 50 Cent announced his support for President Trump and encouraged fans to vote for him. But this week, he pulled his support for the president. And Ice Cube admitted to helping the Trump administration connect with the black community, even as he clarified he is not supporting President Trump. And of course, we can't forget Kanye West's outspoken support for President Trump either. And although black voters are mostly siding with Biden, about 10% of black men say they're supporting President Trump. That's according to data from Pew Research. So here to help us break all of this down is Erica D. Smith, a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Erica, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
What was up with Ice Cube and 50 Cent? How did they align themselves with President Trump?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird story. Well, with Ice Cube, I mean, it was basically he earlier this year had released a contract with Black America, which is basically a plan for helping Black Americans get ahead and kind of combat some of the systemic racism that's been the topic of discussion this year. And so he's been floating this plan around, apparently, to different political parties, including to the Biden campaign and also to the Trump campaign. According to him, the Biden campaign basically told him that they would get back to him after the election, assuming that Biden didn't indeed win. The Trump campaign apparently showed more interest. And so he worked with them, though it's a little bit unclear as to what that working with looked like, but worked with them to kind of help them develop their so-called platinum plan, which is supposedly to achieve a similar goal, but there's a little bit of an overlap there. And so there's been a lot of hubbub about what Ice Cube actually did and did not do. Nonetheless, there's been some backlash about that. With 50 Cent, he came out on Instagram and said that he wanted to support Donald Trump basically because he did not like the Biden campaign's tax plan and that he'd be taxed so much. He since, as you mentioned, backed off of this. But, you know, nonetheless, it's caused some heartburn, I think, probably in the left among liberals about what Black men are willing to support as far as the Trump campaign is concerned as over Biden. So it's caused a little discussion within the Black American community about that.
I'm wondering, you know, this is an interesting thing because it's playing out also among Hispanic Latino voters and who support President Trump in larger percentages. But when you look at the gender breakdown, it's mostly men who are supporting men of color who are supporting the president. And here it's black men, at least 10% of whom say they support President Trump. What is the scope of that support?
You know, it's really interesting as to why that's men versus women. I kind of tried to explore this in a recent column, but I think one of the reasons has to do with Biden himself. I mean, there's been a lot of backlash and back and forth over his involvement in the 1994 crime bill and how that widely is understood to be leading to the mass incarceration of black and Latino men. I think there's also some backlash to Kamala Harris, his running mate, given that she was both a district attorney and attorney general here in California, and also, you know, oversaw it at a time when black men were being disproportionately thrown in prison. And so I think there's some pushback because of the candidates there, not necessarily because of Democrats per se. That said, I think that men more than women, and this has been borne out in a number of studies, are less connected to the Democratic Party and less connected to the electoral process. And I think that basically all of the attention over this election has caused people to want to get more involved all of a sudden. But I think there's a sense of, for people who have been disconnected for the process for so long, that they don't really know how to do it. And I think that we're seeing what that looks like now with people coming in kind of at the 11th hour, trying to figure out what candidate to support and, you know, looking at the candidates kind of with fresh eyes as opposed to what's happened over the last 4 years in some ways.
You know, Erica, President Trump has, you know, while racial tensions in this country are at a fever pitch, the president has insisted that he has been the best thing to happen to black voters in this country, which is, frankly, debatable. And yet 94% of black women voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. So why are black men such an important target for the GOP?
You know, it's interesting. There's so many theories about that that have been floating around over the last couple of months. I mean, there's everything from, you know, it's Trump is appealing to this idea of what is a quote unquote strong man who can provide for his family, given, you know, Trump's history as, you know, supposed wealthy man and billionaire who's a successful businessman. and that men and men of color in particular are drawn to that idea. I mean, it's worth remembering that Trump, before his presidency, Trump was in a zillion and one rap songs. I mean, he was that person who was looked upon as, here's the epitome of wealth and success in America, among the hip hop community. That's obviously changed, but you know, that was a thing for a very long time. There's also been this speculation about this idea of toxic masculinity, that, you know, that Black and Latino men for a long time, because of systemic racism, have been unable to provide for their families and unable to get ahead economically. Trump kind of represents this person who has been able to do it without following the major rules of society. So there's that idea. I think, you know, I think it's never really that simple. I mean, it's worth remembering that the vast majority of Black men are planning on voting for Biden, according to all of these polls. It's just that small percentage. And I think it's just basically just a lot of people, a lot of men, again, were not involved in the political process and are getting involved now and are basically trying to figure out how to do that. And I think that it's because of that, I think it's a little bit messy how this is going, how it's happening.
I want to end by talking a little bit about some other approaches to trying to get Black men to the polls. I'd like to talk a little bit about specifically how the Democratic Party is trying to appeal to Black men. I think there's a lot of feeling among Black women in particular that they're often taken for granted by the Democratic Party. But what about Black men?
Yeah, I think there's definitely that sense as well. I mean, I think Black Americans in general have felt that the Democratic Party has taken them for granted as voters. But I think men in particular, that has come up. You've seen, you know, in recent weeks, you've seen Obama go out and speaking to Black men specifically. You've seen after Biden named Kamala as his VP pick, you've seen her as a senator go out to various different events and trying to kind of smooth over and assure the activist coalitions of which many are Black men about what the Biden campaign or what the Biden administration would do to help Black people once in office in terms of police reform, in terms of other issues along those lines. So I think there's definitely a concerted effort to get Black men to vote for Democrats, but I think it's kind of late, and I think it should have happened earlier in the cycle, but I guess it's better late than never. But I still think that, and I think the majority of Black Americans think that there really isn't much of a choice in this election, that it has to be Biden at this point.
Erica D. Smith is a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Erica, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.